Hi there. Welcome back to Buzzwords and Bullshit. This is a bonus episode. Andrew and I, we've just been at a regenerative agriculture workshop with members of Understanding Ag from the States. We've been up at Groundswell HQ, which is in Hertfordshire in the UK, and we've been listening to Gabe Brown, Shane New, and Dr. Alan Williams. And yeah, we're on the drive home now, so the quality is going to be appalling. I'll tell you that now. There's going to be lots of car noise, probably because Andrew's driving, lots of beeping from other annoyed motorists as we crawl down the motorway at 50 miles an hour, etc. But yeah, we just wanted to give everyone a debrief and what our thoughts are about the whole occasion. So stick with us. It's not going to be a particularly long episode, just a little bit of feedback. Are we still cynical? Are we still sceptical, or have we suddenly had the scales lifted from our eyes and we're seeing the dazzling future that regenerative agriculture holds for every single farmer within this planet that we live upon? So sit back, kick off your slippers, have yourself a pint, light up your pipe, and here we go. See you at the other end.
What do we have in common? What does a corn farmer in Iowa have to in common with a wheat farmer in the UK, with a rancher in Scotland? What do we have in common? Well, the answer, of course, is soil.
Okay, so we're in the car. We're on the M4, heading back to lovely Devon. Although the Cornishman next to me might not agree it's quite so lovely.
Definitely not.
We've had quite a long day. The event was basically a few hours in the morning, listening to them give a talk and presentations. Then there was a lunch, which seemed
terrible.
Terrible lunch. There was a vegetarian option, so that's nice if you like jackfruit. And then we had they had three different stations out in the field, where we went to hear various things about regenerative agriculture and how they believe it should be done. So so this is us chewing the fat, coming to any conclusions we might have about whether we've wasted our money or whether it was a good day out. So Andrew, was it a load of bullshit or have you learned stuff?
I've learned something.
Excellent. That's the end of the podcast. Thank you very much. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next... No, honestly, carry on. Sorry.
I learned something and I'm glad I went. I think that's the bottom line. I'm glad I went. It was a good use of my Saturday, my precious time off, if you will. And I come away feeling largely positive about the day. I'm glad I don't drink tea, looking at the colour of tea that you were provided.
Disgusting.
Food was poor. I feel a little bit shortchanged when it comes to refreshments. But once again, the Cherry family, who, for those that don't know, run the Groundswell show that happens every year in June in the UK, and a really good show as well at that, they put on a nice day. I think they've done well. They've obviously got a connection with Understanding Ag. All in all, nice day, lots of nice people, good conversations. As any of these sorts of events, a lot of the best interactions are with the fellow attendees, if you will, and talking around the topic and the subject. So that was nice for me, saw a few old faces. Would I recommend it? Yes, I would recommend it for somebody. But it was a little bit, and we mentioned this a second ago before we started the podcast, it's a little bit preachy. I feel a little bit like I've been spoken at or spoken to rather than engaged. Some parts were more engaging than others. All in all, positive.
Yeah, no, I've had a cracking day out. I must apologise to Andrew, though. They were giving out fava beans, do you call them? Like dried and processed. They were very nice, but they have had rather an explosive effect on my gastrointestinal system. So this, I've noticed Andrew speeds up every time that I do pass wind. But
Yeah.
So that's a slight negative on the day. But in terms of positive, yeah, I think it's really good. Like you say, there's a lot of interaction, there's a lot of energy, but I do feel it was an echo chamber. I do feel it was the wide-eyed sort of like converts to regen ag, sort of like turned up to hear their hero Gabe Brown tell them, you know, how to cure the world of its ills. Yeah, I'm still a little bit sceptical. Regen ag, I still think it all boils down to ag. It's just agronomy, agriculture. There's nothing new, there's nothing outstanding in what he said. A lot of it is, as he said, common sense. I think it's the where it falls down, I guess, is the practicalities.
Yeah, so I'm sure anybody that's listening to this has almost definitely read his book. I think that's probably a fairly safe assumption to make.
Oh, I'll just point out, they were selling his book there and he was signing it, but I'm such a skinflint, I bought someone else's book, Holy Shit, which looks really good, yeah, and asked him to sign it. And he was very nice about it, and although he did look at me a bit funny, he did sign it very graciously. So thank you, Gabe Brown, for not being a dick.
No, very, very accommodating to all. But he's mentioned the five principles of regenerative ag.
Six.
But it's five in the book.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
it's five in the book.
Yeah, yeah.
Having listened to him today, he's added a sixth, which is extremely important when you're talking about any form of agriculture, and that's context.
Yeah.
Now, we know, obviously, he's big on regen ag, and he's come up with a fairly succinct definition, I think, for regenerative agriculture and regenerative agricultural practices, which I struggle to disagree with. I know you have issues. Does that mean all other types of agriculture are degenerative by deduction? So I know that there's a few issues there, but the context, the sixth principle that he's added is an extremely important one, and I can't get away from thinking that, you know, he even mentioned himself that they have about 120 days of sunshine in North
America.
Dakota.
Yeah.
Definitely not in America, but North Dakota. The rest of it's snow. Two seasons, summer and winter. In the UK, we've got the two other seasons, which are spring and autumn.
Fall.
Or fall. Which, as we know, are both extremely wet, generally.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got to deal with mud, whereas he's talking about outwintering animals on frozen ground and on snow, which is, you know, for all intents and purposes at that point, you can't do any damage. Whereas if we were to outwinter animals in the UK, we'd just have fields of mud.
Yeah.
And okay, yeah, the fields will recover, but we need to be able to feed our animals in the spring. And if they're not recovering until the autumn, can we outwinter realistically? So context is everything in this. And there are absolutely some principles that we can adopt. You know, things like continually having a growing root, integrating livestock. Those things we can definitely do and practice on our own farms in the UK. But we have to have context. And that's massively important when you're talking about any farming practice, whether it's regenerative, conventional, organic, intensive, extensive, it doesn't matter. You have to have the context.
Absolutely. And I think that is really important from what we've said before. Then it takes it away from just being dogma. It's not just, I mean, there are organic farmers. The only way they can control some weeds is to plough. Yep. So if all of a sudden you're saying, right, you know, no disturbance, that's now minimal disturbance, and then you can put it into context. So I think as they're sort of like developing their sort of like theories, if you like, they are sort of like taking into account, then it's not just fixed dogma. They do seem to be, you know, widening their scope a little bit to allow for a little bit more heresy. I think
that's because they're farmers themselves, or it seems to be, you know, they all have their own farm. They understand that you cannot plan a 10-year crop rotation and not make changes after year three or four. Things happen, things change, situations arise that you weren't planning for, didn't expect, and you've got to be flexible. And I think they've understood that, and are themselves flexible when they're talking to and obviously consulting with their customers, because no two farms are the same, no two farmers are the same. And I appreciate that the one thing that joined us all together is a soil, which although might have different components, i.e. clay, sand, silt, etc., whatever it might be, it's going to be subtle differences, but it's the same principles. So they've understood that, and they do allow that flexibility. But a couple of questions today, whether it's flexibility or not committing.
Yeah, so dodging bullets.
Were they dodging a few bullets, especially when it comes to, you know, specifics? Is that to prevent them from getting egg on their face and looking silly?
Yeah.
Or is that them just realising, well, every farm's different and it's going to be subtly different on each?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there was one interesting bit which ties in with our appalling podcast from last night. The one we did in the pub. I'm so sorry about that. If you listen to that, please ignore that. That was shocking. Completely ill-prepared for it, but never mind. It's done now. You've listened to it. You've wasted half an hour of your life doing that. Let's hope you've come back and you're listening to this. If you're not, fuck you. But if you are, thank you. So he said about one of the questions that Gabe Brown had was, well, if you're not allowed to go just cold turkey with ammonium nitrates and your synthetic products, what is the right level? And he didn't really have an answer for that. He said, so how much nitrogen is the right amount? And this kind of ties in what we're saying about the biostimulants, is this regenerative process. It's quite a risk.
We know ourselves, and we've worked with a few farmers, and we've seen a few soil samples, that some soil types can naturally cycle as much as 250 kilograms of nitrogen per year, naturally, without having to add any more. So we know that the soil biology can cycle nutrients. We then just have to look after those microbes, if you will, that are cycling those nutrients. And it's, biology is a funny science, and I'm going to go with quite a cliched statement, is it's not a science, it's more of an art. And I know others have said that, and I'm not the first to say it. But there is no, I don't feel there is an exact answer, and I think he said that he would try and reduce ammonium nitrate or nitrogen inputs by 25% a year. Well, that's just a nice round figure that he's plucked out the air.
Yeah,
the realistic sort of side of that is some farmers are going to be able to reduce it by more, and others are going to be able to reduce it by less.
Yeah.
To achieve a slight reduction. One thing that did strike me, and again, I tend to agree with, I think, the principles a little bit more than what you do, possibly, but I do feel that when was asked about, I can't remember, was it Gabe or one of the others, was it Steve maybe, was asked about replacing ammonium nitrate or nitrogen inputs with a biological or with an alternative, he said, well, you're just replacing one product with another, so are you any better off?
Yeah.
I think what they're trying to do is the right thing.
Yeah.
But I think they've realised what we're realising, and why we've decided to do this podcast, is it's not clear cut.
Yeah.
And there isn't one system fits all.
Yeah.
What Gabe's doing isn't going to work for everybody, and what we're doing isn't going to work for Gabe.
Yeah.
So it's trying to take ideas from him and implement them and think, okay, I like that idea. Will that work with me?
Yeah.
Yes or no? But I think the real principles, the core foundations, the core ethos, if you will, is the right one, I think.
Okay. So you think, I mean, the question I asked him was, where is the weak point in his system? And he said, basically, water. He can't control water, but what he can control is what he called covering the soil, is soil armour.
Yeah.
So what that essentially is having the ground covered all the time. So first thing you think of is cover crops, but Andrew quite rightly said, you know, leaving straw and trash and stuff, that's equally covering.
Crop residues.
Yeah,
or even organic manures.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's another way, but in my head, it's cover crops. So then that's, well, how does that fit? Does every farmer have the opportunity to put a cover crop in or leave soil crop residues to such a large quantity? I mean, it's if that is the weakest point in his system where he says that underpins everything else, because essentially not only are you having the soil armor, you're actually getting deep roots, you know, you're getting diversity. It all, you know, so basically that covers three of his five or six principles. So it was a bit Weasley saying just the one thing. So, but then that's a lot of reliance on cover crops to do that work for regenerative agriculture. So keeping the ground covered all year round, how practical is that? There's a lot of people can't or won't do cover crops. So does that mean if you don't do cover crops, the whole of his system just turns to crap?
I don't think he, and you're focusing there on cover crops.
I like cover crops.
Yeah, I do.
I've always mentioned it.
But I think you can still do that. So undersowing a maize crop with, I mean, obviously relating back to the UK now specifically, yeah, but undersowing a maize crop with a clover or a grass or something like that goes a long way to keeping that soil covered. I'm not saying it's going to be as good as a cover crop, where you're going to be able to produce an awful lot more above ground mass and below ground mass, but it's still better than not having anything in at all. Yeah. So there's variance, you know, cover, it's all relative, context, which is why I like that thing.
Yeah.
Is just having a grass lay following maize,
yeah,
is going to be better than not doing anything. So it's a, yeah, small improvement. So anything that we can do to improve that, increase that.
So yeah, from an undersown crop, because I say you're not going to sow a grass crop after a maize crop.
Well, this year, 2022.
Well, possibly, yeah.
It's been the earliest maize harvest I can ever remember. You know, most people have done their maize now, and what are we now? Middle of October?
Yeah.
Second half of October?
Yeah.
And most people, and I say most people, I would say 95% of people have taken off maize already.
That's because it's been so shit, they're just embarrassed by it. They just want to get it in,
get
the
it in and out the field so nobody can see it.
Absolutely.
It's been a bad year.
Fucking shocking. Maize. Absolutely shocking.
But you've got time to get it in, you know. Instead of planting a late variety, let's go with an earlier variety, get the maize off a little bit earlier, so we're not harvesting it in November, we're harvesting it in October, where there's still enough soil temperature in to at least get like a Westerwolds in afterwards, you know, a quick growing. You can get a bit of a grazing over the winter period, it grows quickly, you might get a single grazing or a first cut silage, and you could always put it back into maize again. But the key point is that the soil is covered.
But what will the badgers eat in November?
Sorry. The badgers will move into the sheds.
Oh, we shouldn't laugh. Sorry to all the TB people out there.
TB people, the dairy farmers.
Dairy farmers, that's it. Oh, my history is arable. I don't know what you cow people are called.
Depends who you speak to. It's not always the badgers that are causing it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that in itself is a whole topic and can of worms that we're not going to open today.
No.
I keep coming back to these principles, and for me, they make sense. And I'm not saying every single person is going to be able to follow every single principle to the letter. And he's changed no-till to min-till, which I think is wise.
Well, that was interesting, because the slides he showed, I'm sure you'll see it on YouTube or some report somewhere, but essentially he showed loads of reports, showed loads of photos of soils from different schemes. So there was some that's never min-tilled in their life, it's all yearly ploughed. Then they showed someone that's been doing min-till for 10 years, then someone who did it for 20 years, and then his own, which he's been doing for 23. And they all look pretty much similar. They were all blocky, they were all plated, you know, there was all lots of
horizontal fissures.
Ooh, nice.
I swallowed a dictionary yesterday.
Absolutely. So, for me, and all of them had low soil organic matter, apart from his, where it had cover crops. So that sort of like, that made me question, well, that as a category on its own in one of his now six things, the minimum disturbance, it's like, is that of minimum importance?
And that, I think that's something that we need to sort of really mention, is that in isolation, there's no silver bullet. So one principle, in isolation, if you do one thing, you're not going to see much, if any, benefits. Yeah. Maybe a little bit. You might see a little bit more with some than others. But if you go today from ploughing every year to not ploughing, are you going to change your farming fortunes? Are you going to become a regenerative farmer? No. You're not going to change your farming fortunes. But if you reduce your ploughing, go to more of a min-till approach, and then you incorporate some cover crops, maybe introduce some livestock, look at increasing diversities. If you do a few of those things, then you start seeing improvement. So I think it's all relative, and it's got to be put into context that if you do one, you won't see much benefit. But if you see two, you'll see more. Three, you'll see more benefits again, and so on and so forth. So it's got to be part of a bigger plan or farm vision, that if you're going to do it, you've kind of got to commit to it, because just doing it a little bit isn't going to do anything. Does that make sense?
Yep. So are you saying then that you need a consultant to help you through this?
Well, no. Is the honest answer. I don't think you do. All of these consultants, and there's a lot of them, there's some that are very good, and there's some that are less good. None that are bad, less good. Almost all of them, and I'm trying to think of them now as I say this, they're all self-taught.
Yeah.
They're all self-taught. You know, if you look at, take an average consultant, he was once facts and basis qualified, so he's gone through all the traditional training that agronomists go through, and he's learned that, understood it, and then they've come away and they've relearned everything.
Yeah.
A few comments that I've heard from people have said, we thought we knew it, we've gone away, we've relearned it. And how have they what have they learned from? Who have they learned from? They've read books.
But books by people in regenerative agriculture, so it's just a big echo chamber. If you've got facts and basis, if you're a trained agronomist, you've got the knowledge there. It's just you've got to see through the fact that what you've been taught is according to one paradigm. All the information is there for you to use. And that's why I say it is regenerative agronomy. It's just agronomy.
I couldn't agree with you more. You're 100% right.
You could agree a lot, and you could tell me I was absolutely perfectly right.
You're absolutely right. Regenerative agronomists, or eco-agroecologists, or regen agro-bio-scio-scientologists, they are all agronomists.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, they're absolutely all agronomists. They all have different principles. They all have different ideas and visions. And they all have different ways of doing things. They're all trying to ensure that your farm is as profitable as it can be.
Right.
And one thing that I liked from today that I thought was quite good, and I'm now trying to remember it as we get overtaken by a nice car.
It was a very nice car.
And I've completely lost my train of thought now.
The one good thing, are you
talking
about... The one
good
thing
today, and we were talking about it, is that all these agronomists are trying to generate and provide money and an income for our farms. But do we want one really good year, or do we want to be profitable every year?
Yeah.
So we can have a really good year this year where we absolutely rape our soils for every last ounce of nutrients that's available. You know, if we throw a load of lime onto our soils, what happens? All the other elements get pushed out and are therefore soluble.
Yeah.
We're going to have a really good year after applying lime, but we're going to have issues the following year.
Yeah.
So it's that longevity, and the word that I like to use is resilience.
Oh, nice.
You know, they're talking about creating a resilient soil. So if you're working with an agronomist or an advisor or a consultant, and they're talking about 1 year, I would suggest they've not got your best long-term interests in heart, unless you're planning on giving up farming in 12 months' time.
Yeah. Well, that might be foisted upon you by the current price of fertiliser and diesel anyway, so...
But that's another point, is these guys, you know, we both said it, is we didn't come away feeling like they were selling anything. They weren't selling us products, okay? Maybe they were selling themselves, and there was a little guy at the beginning that annoyed everybody that was trying to sell carbon, which we'll talk about another day. But they weren't selling anything. And that's why I think farmers can read books, and the older the book, the more knowledge they'll potentially gain.
Yeah, look at the Bible. That's really old. I'll tell you how to do it. Just slaughter a few sheep and spread their entrails over the fields.
Best-selling fiction book of all time, maybe?
Oh, for our American listeners, sorry, I apologise for that.
Yeah, open to debate. Yeah. But, you know, if we talk about pre-Second World War agricultural books, they would be a really good place to start.
Yeah. Because they haven't got the synthetic nitrogen.
They're not talking about the chem. They're talking about practical farming practices, and that's the key. Is farmers can manage their farms and farm more regeneratively without the use of a consultant. All they've got to do is read Gabe Brown's book, understand the principles that he's talking about, and then read around the subject and just think, how can I adopt that practice, that principle, on my farm? And it might be that instead of putting in an Italian ryegrass and clover mix, you go with something with just a few more varieties in. Yeah. And just start the process and start the ball rolling that way. And all the knowledge that they need to understand and to be able to do that is available for free on the internet, in books. Yes, absolutely, you can pay for a consultant to come in and help you with the more technical things when you're talking about really complex mixes of species, and then you talk about bicrops and things. Then you can talk to an advisor, but at the beginning, the outset, you can do these things yourself.
Do you know what? As you were saying that, I was thinking back to teachers and how any teacher, and in place of teacher, read consultant.
Yeah.
They're only one chapter ahead in the textbook of you.
Yeah.
So they're only teaching you what they've just learned.
100%. 100%. They were at the same point as what you are now. If you employ a consultant, they were once at the same level of knowledge and understanding as what you are right now.
I doubt it. I'm very knowledgeable.
I would argue that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But that you're absolutely right in that. They're only one chapter ahead of you. They've just read one more book than you, or listened to one more podcast or one more webinar than what you have, and just extracted that little bit of information that you may have even missed it. You might have read the same books, but just missed that one little piece of information.
Yeah.
Or another option is, or an option, another possibility is consultants. The one thing I do like with consultants is they're not invested. And
Unless they're selling products.
Unless they're selling products, then they've got a bias. But when they come onto your farm, they're a fresh pair of eyes.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing, having an unbiased view of what you're working with. So if you're on your farm 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you are going to see things very differently to somebody that's just walked on your farm for the very first time.
Agreed.
So having a second pair of eyes, whether it's a paid consultant or even just your next door neighbour, farmer, friend.
Yeah.
Look, come on. I'm going to come to you. You're going to come to me. Let's really have a look at each other's farm. Let's leave the niceties at the gate. Tell me honestly what you think. The good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between. Tell me honestly, and I'll return the favour, if you want to call it a favour. I'll return the insult to you. And we can help to learn together.
Yeah.
Identify possible areas where, hang on a minute, why are you doing that?
Yeah.
Or what does this mean? And then you work together, you're working with somebody, and you go on that journey together, and what you might learn, you can share with him. What they might learn, he or she can share with you.
Okay, are we still talking about this Regen Ag workshop?
No, we're not. We've gone away from it a little bit.
We have.
For me, it was £95 well spent. However, the food and refreshments were terrible. The morning session with Gabe Brown, when he was sort of the main speaker then, if you will, in the morning, I thought was really good.
Hallelujah!
He's definitely got his story down. He genuinely, he's drinking the Kool-Aid, as they say in America. He's preaching.
Hi, America.
He's 100% believes everything that he talks about and says about, and I do to a certain extent as well. What I like with Gabe is he's really simplified that message down. It's not complicated. Any farmer can understand it, no matter what level they're into the regenerative agricultural movement. They can understand and appreciate what he's saying. It's just then how they can implement it on their farm.
Yeah. Right, we're reaching that point. We're coming up. We've been talking for nearly half an hour. I think people's attention spans are.
We're still not home.
Well, are we going to keep talking till we're home?
No,
it's going to be fucking ages. But I'm trying to wrap things up here rather than extend it. So, all in all, was today full of buzzwords or full of bullshit?
It was full of buzzwords, less bullshit, more buzzwords than bullshit.
Cool. And if you, what are three, I'm holding up four fingers for everyone who's watching. What were three positives from today you took and three negatives that you took from today's Regen Ag workshop?
God, that's putting me on the spot.
It is.
The biggest positive for me was seeing other people. Engaging.
Yeah, you don't get out much, do you? Poor fucker.
Seeing people I know, other farmers, people I've worked with, people I've spoken to, engaged with online, social media, Instagram, Twitter, all of those
Tinder,
things.
Grindr.
All of those. That was the biggest positive for me, was the social interaction with others. Two was being able to say that I've met Gabe Brown.
Yeah, there was an element of celebrity to it all.
Let's be honest, when you talk about agricultural celebrities in the UK, we've got Adam Henson.
Oh, Jesus. Which is, if you're listening,
isn't really a competition.
He's not listening.
He's definitely not listening to this.
What a wanker.
I wouldn't go that. That's a bit harsh.
That is a bit harsh. I'm sorry. Sorry, Adam.
Yeah.
Please don't sue me.
He would be, so we've got a new agricultural, and we're extending this now.
Yeah.
We've got a new agricultural celebrity, Jeremy Clarkson. So hello, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah. All for Jeremy. Keep it real.
So Gabe is a minor celebrity in the agricultural world. So that was a big plus for me. And then there was a few little snippets that I took from the presentation that I've sort of taken away with me. The picture of the naked soil.
I wondered where you go in there.
The soil is...
I must have missed something.
Naked, thirsty, hungry, and running a fever.
That's it.
Was a nice picture. So that was a take-home message that I like. Three negatives. Food, refreshments, negative.
So logistics.
Which isn't anything on Gabe.
Yeah.
Another negative is an echo chamber.
Yep.
The people that I see today, the farmers, the other attendees that were there, are people that were already experiencing or halfway down the regenerative journey.
Yeah.
I didn't see, you know, intensive dairy farmers.
No.
They're too busy. Yeah, dairy farmers, definitely. It's not quite the shoot. Well, it is the shooting season has started, so that's why we didn't see any arable farmers.
Too early
for skiing.
Yeah.
I think that was a negative. It was that the people that were there are great, and I like them, and I have great conversations with them, but they're only adding to that echo chamber. So that's two negatives. And what was the third negative?
You've got to tell me.
Yeah, third negative for me would be the afternoon session. Where there was three sort of breakout sessions, and all three that we did one at a time were a little bit repetitive. They could have just done one breakout session each.
One of them was really boring.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to name names, but if you were there with us in that group, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Really, really poor delivery.
A few people started to leave at that point. I think they could have done with just one breakout session in the afternoon, going straight into a Q&A would have been better use of my time.
Yeah.
There we go. You've got three of each.
Right. Shall I do three?
Go for it.
Right, my first major positive was all of them were reiterating that most of the things you need for agriculture are free.
Yep.
So CO2, sunlight, water, and to an extent, nitrogen. Carbon is harder because there's less of it in the atmosphere.
Ironically.
Ironically. So that's a major thing. So you don't need to rely on that many inputs. You've got everything you need.
Good one.
Positives again. I liked that energy. I liked people being optimistic, which is weird because I'm generally quite a pessimistic sort of
miserable bugger.
Yeah, exactly. But I liked the energy. It did wane by the end of the day. I think people just tired and probably feeling a bit sick from the food.
Yeah.
But it was. I liked it. There was a lot of positive energy there, a lot of respect for Gabe. And I'm going to say the same as you, I got to meet Gabe Brown and get him to sign somebody else's book. That was a real little minor coup for me.
I believe is Gene Lodgson or something
Well, you recommended Lanson. The book.
I've read it. It's well worth a read. He does get a little bit sentimental towards the end of the book.
I opened a page on cats and dogs' litter trays, so yeah. I'm thrilled. I'm looking forward to reading about litter trays.
It's well worth a read.
Is it? Yeah. It's not just about
we
dogs.
We can review the book on this podcast if we want.
There you got it. From the horse's mouth. Yeah. Upcoming podcast, a review of Holy Shit.
Yeah.
But you'll just have to stick with us for that one. That could be anywhere.
You can miss one. If you miss a podcast, that might be a good
one. I tell you, if you're going to miss one, miss yesterday's. That was fucking awful. If you're going to miss one, that was truly dreadful.
Negatives now.
Negatives, yeah. So negatives, yesterday's podcast, because I'm still including that in this trip.
Okay.
That was too lack of sleep and too much beer. Negative, it was very preachy, echo chamber, and really I think they'd got a bit of a spiel and I don't think there was much scope for practicalities, or they kept saying context, but context is, we were discussing earlier, it's a conversation ender. It just knocks, and if you ask a question and you just say, oh well, it's context, it's unless you get specific about it, just by saying context, it's a little bit of a get out.
Yeah, cop out, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a bit of a cop out. There's that, and that's two.
One more negative
is this is a by proxy negative. Those fava beans have made me really, really flatulent.
Yeah.
And it's a long car journey.
That's a negative for me.
I'm saying it's by proxy, so yeah. my heart goes out to you because there is so much more in store for this car journey.
You might get dragged on the side of it. If you see somebody walking along the M4...
looking bedraggled.
At 6:30 of the evening...
Yeah.
Give him a lift.
Yeah.
Make sure you saw the truck and put him in the back.
Oh, it's disgusting. I am a one-man fucking greenhouse effect. Anyway, we've had a really good day. It's been a long day. Got a lot more driving to do.
Yeah. And hopefully people have enjoyed our ramblings.
Yeah, hopefully this is the difficult third album. It turned out it was the difficult second album, really. Yeah. That was our downfall. I hope that's not stopped people listening further. But cracking time. If ever you get a chance to see Gabe Brown, see if you can negotiate for the ticket price to just do half a day.
Yeah.
Because, it was extended beyond its natural lifetime, I'd say.
Yeah.
The other two guys, take them or leave them, really. They're just sort of like his
psychics. Reiterating the message in a different voice, explaining the same thing.
Gabe could have done all that in a two-hour presentation, but I guess they wanted to...
stretch it out.
Yeah, I guess so.
Fine.
But kudos to Groundswell, if you're
Cherries,
listening.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, kudos. Looking forward to either their next event or the actual Groundswell... festival. It's like Glastonbury for farmers, isn't it?
Socks and sandals optional.
Yes, there is a special tofu knitting area if you want to go and visit that.
It's well worth going.
It is well worth going. It's again, it's very vibrant. It's a lot more energy. It's got what cereals hasn't got. So there you go.
We'll see you at cereals then.
Yeah, we'll see you. Yeah, you'll probably see us one. Probably see me wandering around farting, being left by Andrew.
Yeah.
But no, thanks for sticking with us. We've got another podcast coming up. I guess we're going to have to do the top 10 bullshit of biostimulants.
I think it'd be good to look into biostimulants in just a little bit more detail, just to try and give people the fors and against, the pros and cons of each. So if they're thinking of using it, they can really get some knowledge and go, okay,
I'm don't use them. It's bullshit. But we can. We can certainly perhaps do a bit more techie, go through sort of like what people claim and then what actually has been proven, and that sort of thing.
Good stuff.
Yeah. So right, we're gonna leave you to it. I've got one brewing, so I'm going to sign off.
Thank you all very much, and we'll see you next time.
Yeah, ta-ra. Bye.
Hi, guys. This is Andrew. Just a little reminder, we're doing this podcast for you more than for us. As much as we enjoy doing it, it is ultimately for you to hopefully gain something from it. We would appreciate some feedback from you. What did you like? What didn't you like? The good, the bad, the ugly. Doesn't matter what you think, whatever it may be, you can tell us how terrible we are, how great we are, and everything in between. But some feedback is much appreciated. And even if you've got some suggestions for topics, if there's something that you're looking at or considering implementing or doing on your own farm, let us know. And we can review it. We can give you our honest opinion, and give you the feedback and maybe even a bit of information or knowledge that you'd not thought of or considered. And the best way of doing that would be to get us through our Twitter handles or Instagram. It's the Ag. What is it, Carl? Actually, no, you say that. What's the Twitter handle?
Right, the Twitter handle is that curly monkey shaped thing. Is that the at?
That's the at.
Oh, yeah, okay. The at Agbulsh. And that's AGBULLSH. Agbulsh. Or if you sort of like, you can, I guess, Googlify it or whatever you want to do in the Twittery bit and try and find regenerative agriculture buzzwords and bullsh.
Should find it, fair enough. And Instagram is the same. Ag bullshit.
All right, ag bullshit. Nice. Okay, so
it's simple.
I tell you what, if you want to come on, give us, you know, come and sort of like share your thoughts with us. Drop us a line. We've got this appy nonsense that we can do. We can send to your phone and we can have a conversation over the phone and get you on the podcast. Join in. Come and tell Andrew what a twat he is if you want. Just whatever you like. Whatever you like.
Yeah, I'll have to screen everybody first.
No, I hold the app. So, just join in. It's all good fun. Just join in. Speak to you soon. Bye.